comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hey folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It is talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. And based on what we've been through since Friday, I have to tell you, nowhere else in the solar system. Anyway, it's the show where you matter. Let me bring you up to date pretty quickly. We are in the midst of a bit of a computer crisis. One of our very critical computers has died. You hear that? You like that echo? One of our very critical computers died, and not only did it die, it took with it our ability to do radio broadcasting, and this is a radio show. So what we had to do is we had to transfer all the software that does the radio show over to the computer that does the TV show. And the computer that does the TV show doesn't like doing the TV show and the radio show at the same time. It just doesn't work very well. And in fact, it chooses which one to do, and it chooses not to do TV. Now, for tonight, what we're doing as a stopgap measure is we have a laptop running the radio side, and we're trying to match that up with the desktop that's running the TV channel, and things are just not really, really top-notch as they should be. But we are on the air, and that's a good thing. I told you we would be here, and we are. And we've got a great show for you tonight. A really, as Ed Sullivan used to say, good show. We really do. I think you're going to be very pleased with it. Now, let me ask you to think about something. We have all seen all of those sci-fi movies and all of the sci-fi TV series where they do teleportation. You know, beam me up, Scotty. And, you know, we think about that as being something very far into the future. Well, tonight, some of you are going to be surprised. Some of you will not be, because you will have already read this material. But some of you are going to be surprised. And I have a surprise guest for you here tonight. I know, since I didn't put a guest picture up on the website, you probably thought it's going to be just me. Well, it isn't. We have a surprise guest for you, and it's someone that some of you are familiar with from years gone by here at the Kevin Smith Show. But he's with us, and we're going to be talking about teleportation, and not just sort of generally, you know, hey, that's cool, it would be cool if we could all do that. And it's not going to be that kind of discussion. It's going to be at a very high level. And I think if you are prepared to think, you're going to be very pleased. We'll be back right after this. right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Jeff Bird. Yep, the real one and only Jeff Bird. Some of you remember Jeff. Jeff I think it was 2007 that we arranged, and I'm not sure whether he arranged it or whether I did, but anyway, we got together, and the Kevin Smith Show began to be broadcast over OmniSound Radio Network. And OmniSound Radio Network was one of the better established and bigger networks on the internet doing radio broadcasting on the internet. And then, due to some health reasons and some other reasons, it was necessary for Jeff to back off of that, and OmniSound disappeared for a while. But it is back, and it's already big again, and they are carrying the Kevin Smith Show. Jeff, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Hi, Kevin.
All right, now, Jeff, because of the way we're doing this, you're going to have to speak pretty loudly. So, folks, let me explain. Because we don't have all of the normal equipment, we don't have all the normal computer power, we cannot run the telephones through the digital hybrid the telephone interface that we normally use. That means that I'm having to do this, Jeff, the old-fashioned way, the way they used to do it back when they first started doing live talk shows with telephones. And that is, I've got a microphone suspended right above the speaker on a speakerphone, and then we've got Jeff on it. Do you remember seeing any of the old radio studios do that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah. I got my cup with a string just in case that goes down.
Kind of like those Progresso soup commercials. Yeah, well,
yeah, it's in there.
It's in there. Let me tell you a little bit about Jeff, folks, because sometimes people really make a very, 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 very serious and critical error in thinking about people. There are people that send me email and say, well, you need to just stick to what talk show hosts, you need to just stick to what you are, which is a talk show host, and do what talk show hosts do best, talk. You know, somebody that doesn't like something I wrote or some opinion I expressed, and I'm always amazed, Jeff, when someone has a disagreement with any opinion of mine. I mean, that's just, that blows me away. But anyway, they don't know that I read and write music and have had at least one composition performed by a major symphony orchestra. They don't know that I'm a rock musician as well. They don't know that I speak seven languages, nine if you count the ones I stumbled through. They don't know that I can read and write in most of those languages. They don't know that I have a doctor's degree. They don't know that I'm a cop and have been a cop all my life, and that I was an international police commander. So they pigeonhole me. To them, because they're hearing me on the radio, they think, oh, that's all he is. Folks, it's a huge mistake to think anyone, including you, it's a huge mistake to think that you're monodimensional, because you're not, and no one else is. Everyone has skills and talents far beyond, and knowledge far beyond what you think they do. So when you think about Jeff Bird, you need to think distant descendant of Admiral Bird. You need to think PhD in information technology. You need to think undergraduate degrees in engineering. You need to think owner and operator of a major internet network, radio network. You need to think in terms of someone who is very knowledgeable, very multidimensional, and someone that even your government in the USA has called upon for advice, information, and consulting. And I'm not going to get into what that was about. So, with that sort of as our jumping off point, let me tell you that I was talking with Jeff today. Now, what I did, because of this problem we've got with the computer, now, we're in the process of getting that taken care of, but we're not there yet. But because of that, and because of the fact that this show tonight is, if you could sit here and see what I have put together to be able to broadcast tonight, I mean, it's baling wire and bubble gum, but we are on the air. And I promised you that we would be, and here we are. But because of that, and because of the fact that what we're doing still causes the TV channel to jump offline every once in a while. It's done it a couple of times already during this show tonight. And because of that, I pushed the guest list forward in time. Or maybe I can say back. I moved it so that we didn't have a guest tonight. And if I need to do that for tomorrow night, I'll do it again. I don't want a guest to walk into a mess. You understand. And I can live with a mess. I can make this baling wire and bubble gum happen. But you don't want to have a guest do that, right? I mean, it's kind of like if you're remodeling your home, you don't invite guests to come stay with you for the weekend while you've got paint and wood chips and all kinds of stuff all over the house. And so that's what we've done. So I'm talking with Jeff today, which is not unusual. We talk frequently. And he said, hey, did you know about this? And he began to read to me a document. Now, that's what we're going to talk about here tonight. But folks, let me ask you, I'm going to read some names, and I'll read to you where they are located, where they work, or at least where they did at one point when this was published. Dr. Frank Meade, Edwards Air Force Base. Now, these are just a few that I've circled. It's three pages of names. Let me hold that up so people can see. I've got three pages of names here. Three pages. Double columns of names. So Dr. Frank Meade, Edwards Air Force Base. The Defense Technical Information Center at Fort Belvoir, Virginia. That's pretty heavy duty, isn't it? Defense Technical Information Center. Dr. Chen K. Choi, Purdue University. Clark Hawk, Propulsion Research Center, Huntsville, Alabama. Dr. Hal Puthoff, Institute for Advanced Studies, Austin, Texas. Some of these names you recognize, don't you? Steve Squires, Directorate of Applied Technology in New Mexico. But you know him as being with NASA and sort of the face of the Spirit Rover and Opportunity Rover programs. He's the one you've seen on TV talking about those. Dr. Kenneth Ware, Defense Nuclear Agency. Again, that's kind of heavy. Alexandria, Virginia. Mr. Charles Yost, Electric Spacecraft Journal. I know you've heard of that name. Leicester, North Carolina. And there are many others. Many others, all of them highly credentialed, all of them from what we would consider to be heavy occupations. What do they have in common? And would you like to have something in common with them? Would you? Well, what they have in common is they all were on the distribution list for a report that this is an official report from the U.S. Air Force, from the U.S. Air Force Laboratories, and it's a report on the physics of teleportation. Now, I ask you, what would you like to have in common with them? Because I'm going to make it happen. If you go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and you scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show, and if you click on it, you will be able to read online this report. It's 88 pages. Now, if you right-click on that picture, it's just the picture about tonight's show. If you right-click on it, you'll be able to save that PDF file to your computer, and then you can read it at your leisure. So you will have something in common with these really top science types from really heavy occupations, and it's yours, okay? You can just save it to your computer, and you've got it. And I recommend that you open it, take a look at it, as we're talking about it tonight. Because this is some heavy stuff. Well, when Jeff started talking with me about this report and reading to me some of what was in this report, I asked him to send me the link. And he did. And I asked him to come on the air with me tonight because, you know, Jeff, I don't care if our equipment runs over Jeff. I know that's a sad thing to say, and I know that's politically not correct, but he and I are friends, and if my equipment runs all over Jeff tonight, we'll live through it. But, you know, if you have if I had some of these names that are on here, had them as guests, and the computer ran all over them, then they probably would not want to come back. But I know Jeff works with equipment like this all the time. He knows what we're up against. And so when I say I don't care if it runs over him, that's not really exactly what I mean. But you get the gist of it. I mean, he'll live through it and we'll still be friends. So I asked him to come and talk with me about this tonight. And he's had a chance to look over the material. And I want to ask you, Jeff, first of all, well, let me say this, folks. This document, you will see, is not classified. This document was cleared for public distribution. And it can be distributed to the entire public. And that's pretty interesting considering what's in it. And I have a theory about that, but Jeff, let's talk about what's in this document. This document is itself heavyweight. It is teleportation physics, or physics of teleportation. So let's talk about generally what's in it. And let me start by asking you just yes or no, as you've read it, is it saying that teleportation is a reality?
Oh, it certainly appears like it. There's a good deal of physics information in this paper, as well as a lot of theory. And one of the most interesting things that I found in it, it kind of makes some sense of some missing things in Einstein's equations that really maybe weren't quite thought about at the time, that open up the total possibility of this happening. What I found even more interesting is this is less science fiction than more, I guess you could say, more along the lines of actually figuring out a way to accomplish this without a lot of gizmos and gadgets, I guess you could say.
You know, one of the big problems with what some people call either Star Trek science or Star Wars science is that a lot of it, well, some of it is just fiction, but a lot of it is theoretically possible, but the problem is the engineering. The problem is figuring out how to build the technology that can actually do this theoretical thing, how it can change it from theoretical into an actual reality. So it's an engineering problem, figuring out how to make that happen. But a lot of the gadgets are considered to be theoretically possible. We've heard Dr. Michio Kaku talk about faster than light travel being theoretically possible, that there's really nothing in physics that tells you that you can't do it. We just don't know how from an engineering standpoint. So when you looked at this, did it seem to you, and I know you've got, you know, you've got degrees in engineering, did this seem to you to be all theory, or did it smack of reality?
Oh no, there's a lot of things that have been done experimentally since this paper was written, including one experiment that they actually were able to take a photon from one side of a room, blip it out, and stick it into what they call hyperspace, and then pop it up on the other side of a room somewhere based on this exact same information that's in this paper. So my best guess is no, it's not just theory. There's a lot of reality to it. A lot of things since, you know, it's not been that long ago since this was released, but there's certainly a lot of things that have come to fruition since this has happened experimentally.
Well, you know, I said I have a theory about why they released this unclassified to the public. And my theory is that it has been released unclassified because it's obsolete. What do you think?
That's a good possibility. I mean, you start reading through this thing and you see on page 3 they start talking about stargates as if they're reality already.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they do. Now, we have a break coming up in about 30 seconds. When we come back, I want to talk about the stargates. I want to talk about the particular type of wormhole that is discussed as a possibility for someone transversing the universe very rapidly. And by the way, folks, this paper also talks about other dimensions and parallel universes as though they are reality as well. And remember, you paid for this study. You paid for this report. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jeff Bird. I am pleased that he is with us and can give us some insight. Look, not everyone is an engineer. Not everyone's a physicist. Not everyone can read that 88-page report and understand what's in it. And so I'm very pleased that he's with us tonight to talk with us about that, and to give us some assistance with the page, with the paper, the 88 pages of the paper. And I want to stress again, this is a report from, it is a report from the U.S. Air Force Laboratory. All right. Now, Jeff, we went to break talking about stargates. Now, this page, this is a presentation that was made. This is a text of a presentation that was made before a very elite group of scientists, most of them attached to the U.S. Air Force, some of them attached not to the U.S. Air Force directly, but via contracts that their companies have with the U.S. Air Force. And this is a presentation made to the U.S. Air Force at the U.S. Air Force Laboratory. And they have now released this document. And this document speaks matter-of-factly about, and I use the terminology that was used in the paper, it speaks very matter-of-factly about true stargates. So talk to us a little bit about that. What did you get from what you read about true stargates?
Well, they have a pretty good description of it, where they talk about the stargate is essentially a wormhole with a flat face shape for the throat as opposed to the spherical shaped throat. Talking about traversable wormholes, the geometry.
Now, when we say traversable, you're talking about you can travel through them.
Yeah, teleportation, just like the report talks about.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of broke the whole teleportation thing down into several different methods of teleportation, and they talk matter-of-factly about stargates as if they're real, have some mathematics. Even discuss in some detail how to create these thin shell wormholes, and if it's all theoretical, they've done a lot of research and they've stayed awake at night just making a lot of stuff up, I guess.
Yeah, but see, the clue that it's not theoretical, the clue is in the language itself, the language that's used in the report. Because when he talks about these stargates, he talks about true stargates. Now, this would have been said in front of all of these august scientists, and you don't see him trying to prove that true stargates exist. He just talks about them. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah, as if they do, along with a bunch of mathematics. And how they exist.
Sorry about that echo. Okay.
Some of Einstein's work backwards and dealing with the geometry of wormholes and how they can actually be created.
In talking about the true stargates as opposed to the theoretical stargates, he talks about being able to polarize the vacuum. Why?
Yeah, that's kind of a very interesting thing, since that seems to be a lot of things in this paper seem to be things that they've pieced together to try to compensate for some of the inadequacies of Einstein's original relativity theories, where, you know, Einstein had a special theory of relativity that based on this circumstance happening and this circumstance happening, you have to use these fudge factors in order for everything to work properly and the mathematics to come together. They seem to have put all these pieces together, and now all of a sudden we're talking about the vacuums not just being an empty space devoid of stuff. Now it can actually be polarized, which kind of opens up a lot of possibilities in Einstein's equations. And it seems like the bulk of the mathematics that are presented in this paper are fixing Einstein's equations.
Well, as a matter of fact, at the beginning of the paper, the sort of the introduction, the guy said, and what is the guy's name who's presenting this paper to the Air Force Laboratory?
This Eric Davis from Warp Drive Metrics, which in and of itself is a neat name for a company, don't you think?
I think so. Warp Drive Metrics. Okay, and well,
hey,
look.
Hey, makes you kind of wonder what they're working on.
Well, yeah. I mean, and you look at this list, you know, of people that this was distributed to, the Defense Technical Information Center. You know, folks, the point of that is it's being taken seriously, not as theory. It's being taken very seriously at extremely high levels in the U.S. Air Force. It was taken very seriously. And you've got these scientists from Edwards Air Force Base, from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. That was Dr. Alan Garskaden, Wright Air Force, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. You know, Propulsion Research Center in Huntsville, Alabama. Of course, you know, Huntsville, Alabama is home to a huge NASA installation. So, but whenever he was talking about this, he talked about it as though it's entirely real. He doesn't talk about it as though it's theoretical. He doesn't talk about it as though he's got to prove it to somebody. He's simply explaining to people who already understand that, and that it is real. And he's just explaining it to them. Here's how it works. But in the beginning of it, right at the beginning where he has kind of an introduction, he says, I wondered if there was a way that we could take what Einstein did and see if we could make the Einsteinian mathematics work here. And pretty much the key to it was polarizing the vacuum, meaning then that you have, if you think of positive and negative, which we do because of magnetism, but if you think of positive and negative, it means you would have a positive end of a wormhole and a negative end, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, pretty much. Not to mention that you can deal with all these kind of exotic energies when you start messing with this stuff as well. There's a whole section on this to talk about virtual electrons, virtual protons, things that, you know, you would normally think aren't real, but they're talking about them in the sense that they absolutely are real. And it gets very interesting how that relates to some of the other technologies that have been used by the military and by DARPA and several of the other government agencies over the years, and including things like remote viewing.
All right, let's talk about remote viewing. It is mentioned in this paper, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, quite extensively, as a matter of fact.
There was a pretty surprising name mentioned.
Actually, relate a thing called psychic teleportation.
And what does it say about psychic teleportation? Does it? I mean, are they serious about that?
Oh yeah, they actually define it as the conveyance of persons or inanimate objects by psychic means, and they actually give it a term called P-teleportation. They were so serious that some of the offshoots of that, I don't know, I'm sure your listeners know by this point in time that there were a lot of experiments done by the government, a lot of people trained in doing remote viewing, quite a successful program if you look at it from what all was accomplished, including a little thing that, they used to augment human abilities, which they also trained some people that weren't part of that program, like none other than our good buddy Al Gore there.
Now, there he is mentioned in the paper, right? He's mentioned right there in this paper. People, you can download it, you read it, you'll find it, read it for yourself. That as part of some of these programs, that were being conducted in the lead up to and the background for teleportation, one of the people trained in these programs was Al Gore. Another person that everyone has heard of that they took very seriously was Uri Geller. And they had a little bit to say about Uri Geller in this paper. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah. There's so many prominent names that have been involved in both the scientific and kind of, depending on how you look at it, either leading edge or falling edge science. People like Andrea Fajarge. And at one point in time, Andrea Fajarge, even though this kind of made the circles in kind of the weird science arena, he was at one time actually the science advisor to President Jimmy Carter.
And he's mentioned in this paper as having been part of the program, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I want to go back to space for just a minute. We were talking about the real stargates, but this paper also talks about extra dimensions, additional dimensions, and parallel universes. And it states it, I read it, it states it as though it's just a matter of fact. Like if you say dollar bills are green, it's just a matter of fact. And that's the way it's stated in this paper when it talks about these extra dimensions, and it talks about parallel universes. This is something being presented to the top scientists in this country at the U.S. Air Force Laboratory. And he talks about that as though it's just common knowledge.
Well, as a matter of fact, it's not even just common knowledge. It's one of the primary focuses of this paper. They call it exotic teleportation, which they define as the conveyance of persons or inanimate objects by transport through extra space dimensions or parallel universes, and they call it e-teleportation. And they have quite a ravenous amount of mathematics involved in explaining away a lot of some of the, I guess you wouldn't really say, somebody mentioned to me a while back that Einstein, they based on stuff like this, they proved Einstein wrong. They didn't really prove Einstein wrong with this. They just, there were a few things that weren't considered in Einstein's equation. One of it being the polarizable vacuum, exotic energies. When we think of space, we think of this empty arena out there somewhere that has nothing in it, no energy, it doesn't have any air, it doesn't have anything. According to this paper, it's chock-a-block full of stuff. And it has energy polarization, there's exotic energies, there's things that seem to be moving in and out of this black, dark vastness of space constantly, in and out of parallel dimensions, and it's very intriguing how they present this as if this, it's not trying to convince a group of scientists this, they're just presenting this as, well, this is what it is, and they even integrate some of the other things like super string theory into this whole concept, and it's very, very far removed from science fiction at this point, is the way that they're presenting it. It's just matter of fact. This is the way things are. This is what, some of it they admit is theory, but like I mentioned before, a lot of this stuff is actually, just in the few short years since this paper was published, have actually been experimentally proven in laboratories.
All right, we're running a little bit behind on this break, so we're going to have to step away. But, folks, we will be back right after this, so don't go away. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jeff Bird, and we're talking about this amazing 88-page document released to the public by the U.S. Air Force. And although I cannot say that this is a recent release, and that's not what we're saying, although we will get some internet rash heads that will write to me and say, oh, that's old news. Yeah, okay, well, you didn't hear anybody else talking about it, did you? It's been out there for a while, but it's not something that a lot of people have talked about. And I think probably because most talk show hosts, myself included, although we are multi-dimensional people, multi-level kinds of people, most of us don't have the engineering or physics background that it would take to really digest this 88 pages and understand it well enough to go on the air and do a show about it. So we're privileged to have with us tonight someone who does have that background and is talking with us about what is in this 88 pages and what it all means. Now, Jeff, when we went away for break, and we went late, I am sorry, I apologize to our affiliates for that, but please do keep in mind, it's bubblegum and baling wire, at least for tonight, maybe for tomorrow, maybe for the next day, till we get things all back and new computer in and get things working right. We will be on the air, though. When we talk about all these multiple dimensions in space, and we talk about parallel universes in space, we're talking about something that, when I talk about it on this show, I get email from a few people who, even though they like the show, it's their opinion that, you know, all of that is just so theoretical and it's so out there. That, you know, we need to just stick a little bit closer to reality. But when you read this paper, this scientist is talking to mega scientists at a mega laboratory, the U.S. Air Force laboratory, and he's talking about multiple dimensions, and he's talking about parallel universes. Matter-of-factly, And true stargates, just matter-of-factly, as though, number one, it's all real, and number two, everyone sitting in front of him listening knows it's real. There's no debate about it. That's what I got from it. And let me ask Jeff again, did you get that same impression?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially the... the extreme focus on psychic and PK type phenomena and relating it to people like Uri Geller and other people that have claimed to have mentally or psychically teleported from one place to another. It's just incredible that they could present this type of information to such high level scientific people and not be, you know, just instantly laughed out of a room. I mean, they spent a lot of money on that, on this report, just this report.
Yeah.
And because of this report, they spent millions of dollars starting to do research, and a lot of these projects had offshoot projects, and all of a sudden they disappeared into the woodwork, but it turns out a lot of them have been continuing on. I mean, there's prominent people that were involved in this, and major universities, like you mentioned, NASA and other things. But there's been a lot of stuff done since this paper was written to actually prove a lot of the ideas in this, and including actually teleporting a photon and blipping it into hyperspace and having it blip across a room. And
when you get into the psychic teleportation, I'll tell you something that comes to mind, And I want us to talk about this a little bit. The psychic teleportation that is described in that paper is not described as theoretical. It's described as real, as actual. And it reminds me of the movie Avatar. Had you thought about that?
Not really, but now that you mention it, yeah, it does.
Now, Jeff, we hear all the time about, when I say we, I'm talking about on talk shows like The Kevin Smith Show, we hear all the time people express the idea, the concept, that they think a whole lot of the science fiction that we get to see is based on real stuff, and that it's really just a way to sort of leak it out a little bit. What do you think about that?
Yeah, there's been quite a debate for some time, like in the Star Trek series, whether or not Gene Roddenberry had some sort of, whether he was a visionary or was a prophet, you know, whether he was predicting something that was getting ready to happen or just created all these vast scenarios and science fiction type ideas. But, yeah, it seems like a good mix. I mean, some of it actually, what's coming out in movies today seems more like just getting the public prepared for the technology we already have available to us. I was privy to a few things back in the late 70s of some technology that we had that I don't even think a lot of people today would be, they would be very surprised if they even knew that it existed today, let alone back in the late 70s. So yeah, I think a lot of the stuff in the movies and
Jeff, we have to take a break, and when we come back from this break, we'll pick up right there. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jeff Bird. Those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. You know, if you hear anything askance in the audio, it's a good word. It's in your dictionary if you don't know it. If you hear anything askance in the audio, refer to the first hour where it was all explained. We're talking about a very, very, I think, important report that has come out of the U.S. Air Force Laboratory. Now, it's not new. It's been out a while. You haven't heard people talking about it. But we're talking about it tonight. And if you click on the picture about tonight's show, go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and you click on that picture about tonight's show, what you're going to get is a PDF file that's going to open up, and it is that report. It is that report. It's 88 pages long. It is a major, major report. Because you have the top scientists in America, in terms, especially in terms of our defense, and they're talking about such things as true stargates. They're talking about multiple other dimensions in space, parallel universes. They're talking about teleportation and how to accomplish that. And they're doing all of this at the U.S. Air Force Laboratory. Okay, the U.S. Air Force Laboratory. So it's important and it's major, and it's not something that is just out there and everybody's talking about it. However, this report also mentions something about UFOs. Jeff, what does this report say about UFOs, and how does it present it?
Well, of course, obviously, it's related to teleportation, but there are claimed instances of human teleportation of the body from one place to another, and they actually talk about a small number of credible reports of individuals who have been teleported to and from UFOs during a UFO close encounter, as if this is credible. I mean, they even use the word credible. And there was quite a bit of scientific investigation done. They also mentioned that there are a large number of anecdotal reports that the data tended to be unreliable, but they pretty much zoomed in on the things that were credible, that they deemed to be credible, actual experiences of people being beamed to and from alien spacecraft.
This is very interesting, and let me go back. Let me just step back a few years, and Jeff, you've been around this show for a long time, and you've heard me say this. Some of our listeners have been with me since the year 2000. You've heard me say this. You've heard me say disclosure is happening. It's dribbling out all the time. Disclosure is happening. And but as far as someone stepping to the mic representing the government and saying, okay, folks, here's the deal. We've been lying to you now for 60 years, and the truth is there are extraterrestrials. They're here. We have a contract with them, or we've got an agreement with them. And UFOs, those are real. They're not going to do that. They're never, I don't think they will ever do that. But I've been saying now for years that disclosure happens as they sort of dribble stuff out to us. Sometimes maybe they didn't mean to. Sometimes I think they did mean to. Well, recently, within the past couple of weeks, Colonel John Alexander, I think a lot of people are familiar with him, Colonel John Alexander made the statement in an interview that disclosure has already happened. The government officials have already admitted that the UFOs are real. And he quotes Harry Truman. Harry Truman said, and I've played the video clip on the show, Harry Truman said that, you know, when it comes to UFOs, being that, you know, we don't have anything that can fly like that, you know, they're extraterrestrial spacecraft, they're under investigation. So, you know, disclosure has been happening. It's I'm glad John Alexander said it. It has been happening. And this report is another disclosure. It's disclosing the reality of true stargates. It's disclosing the reality of being able to teleport. It's disclosing the reality of various types of teleportation, and it's disclosing the reality of multiple dimensions and parallel universes and UFOs as related to teleportation. Now, this report accepts those things as reality and fact and provides the mathematics for the physics that goes with it. And that's why this is so exciting. That's why this is so important, because here they are, all meeting at this, these mega scientists meeting at the U.S. Air Force Laboratory, and this report being issued and made public about the meeting. And they're talking about these things in terms of reality. These are the people, when you talk about, well, what is our government doing to protect us? Those are the people. These are the ones that invent the stuff that protects you. And they're talking about these things in terms of it's real. They just accept it as it's real. And this paper provides the physics equations to explain how it works. Is that cool or what? That's just cool. Now, Jeff, what did you find most surprising in this paper from your point of view?
I guess really a lot of the success that they had with a lot of the PK-induced teleportation.
Now, what is for the audience, explain what PK is.
By the way, you mentioned Colonel John Alexander. He's mentioned several times in this paper as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
They obviously thought he was credible at the time as also.
Okay, explain for the audience what is PK teleportation?
Just basic psychic type phenomena where they specifically talked about a thing that was done in China. A paper that was done in September 1981 that entitled "Some Experiments on the Transfer of Objects Performed by Unusual Abilities of the Human Body." And basically, the body and the mind working together to create some of these things, and they actually had some very credible reports of. The government themselves have had videos where they watch this stuff happen, people using the power of their mind and, according to this, the unusual abilities of the body to actually cause things to move from one location to another almost instantly. And
they did some of this with Uri Geller, didn't they?
They did a lot of it with Uri Geller, as a matter of fact. I mean, the Department of the Navy spent quite a number of years studying Uri Geller's ability to affect metal composite matrix material. The government created this, along with some other private corporations, but created a memory metal called nitinol wire, and the government was extremely enamored with Uri's ability to take something that had a pre-programmed atomic memory and just with the power of his mind cause it to change that atomic memory. And they also went so far as to there was a lot of things that were conducted especially with Colonel John Alexander having to do with actually remotely causing things to happen in cockpits of planes where they could influence pilots based on making certain things hot and cold by actually manipulating physical objects at a distance or blipping things in and out, teleporting things in and out. It's just incredible that they talk of this stuff not like that it's weird woo-woo science, but, you know, obviously the government spent a lot of money researching this stuff, and I got a lot of credible data off of it, and as well as phenomenological data where it's very hard to argue points that when you see something that's in one space in a controlled environment just all of a sudden disappear and reappear across the room and nobody's touched it. There hasn't been any type of weird types of gizmos or gadgets or electronic phenomena going on that just people with the power of their mind are able to move these objects or, as they like to put it, the unusual properties of the body. They seem to be basing a lot of this stuff based on the fact that humans do have some sort of ability to manipulate this polarity of the vacuum and cause things to move in and out of space-time.
Would it be possible, do you think, for one of these true stargates to open and for the entire Earth to slip through into another part of the universe?
According to not only this paper, but another a bunch of other credible papers, that the fact that every point in space-time can be linked together, I wouldn't see why it couldn't. I don't think that that's a practical application of a stargate, and certainly kind of a poor experiment.
No. Yeah, but you know, when I ask a question,
based on this whole ideology, it looks like it would totally be possible to take a large object like a planet and just move it from one place to another very quickly.
Okay. Now, you know, when I ask questions, I generally have a destination, generally, and I do with this one. When we look at the people that are on this distribution list, a whole bunch of these people are very much defense-oriented. Now, and a whole bunch of them, if they're not defense-oriented, they're at least military-oriented. Lots of them are attached to Air Force bases, and others are attached to agencies of the government. For instance, the Defense Technical Information Center. So, this paper talks about the ability to create these wormholes, if you will, stargates. If you actually have the ability to do that, you actually not only could use that, if this paper is correct, you not only could use that for space travel, but you could use that to protect your planet from invaders by sucking them into this wormhole and simply shooting them out the other side, on the other side of the universe. And it theoretically then could be used against a planet incoming, couldn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
So, if this technology were developed well enough, then we're looking at the ability to use the physics of space and time as a weapon. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's pretty scary.
That's kind of the ultimate double-edged sword, isn't it?
It is. Whenever, I think these people would say, that's nonsense, we have no intention of using it that way. But I would think also that the people who worked on splitting the atom had no intention that it was ever going to be used like it was. They envisioned all kinds of energy and power from it. I don't think most of them that worked on splitting the atom envisioned that it was going to be used as it was, both in World War II and then in the ensuing arms race and Cold War. They had other visions for it. And I just point that out, whenever we're talking about the ability to do these really godlike things, moving a planet, that's kind of godlike. But when we're talking about the ability to do these godlike things, that's very dangerous in the hands of people who don't have godlike thoughts. Would you agree?
I think it's even dangerous in the hands of people that don't even know what a godlike thought would be.
Well, in this mix of people that we have, by the way, this list that of all these people that it was distributed to, this list is in the report itself. It's part of the report itself. So it's an official list of people to whom this report was distributed. Now, in this mix of people, I'm willing to bet that most of them are just pretty decent people. But I'm also willing to bet that some of them are not. They're just smart. Really smart, but not too decent. Some of them. And this kind of knowledge, this kind of technology in the hands of those people would not tend toward building a sort of utopia here on Earth. It would tend more towards building a sort of tyranny here on Earth, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, using technology to control people, for one.
So how can we protect ourselves from that while at the same time allowing the forward progress and the benefits from the technology? How can we do that? Or are we going to have a whole planet that's like Atlantis, where we do ourselves in?
Oh, it's totally possible. Just given some of the weird and wacky off the wall things that have been proposed by climate scientists to control global warming, could just totally destroy the planet. Something of this size and enormity could just, I mean, if somebody plays around with the wrong stuff, we could find ourselves blipped out somewhere in some remote part of the universe where we don't even have a sun to keep us warm.
That would be pretty intense.
It's going to happen right away, but there's enough of it that has actually been experimentally proven. One article I was reading specifically mentioned that it's going to take a tremendous amount of computing power to actually control this. On the other hand, you've got a paper that seems to dwell a lot on psychic phenomena, on things, they bring up the whole arena of remote viewing and talk about the credibility of that, not just their own experiments, but they talk about Russian experiments, they talk about Chinese experiments that were done. The people actually had the ability to control things with their mind. I suppose if you could get a group together like what they did in the government and start doing these remote viewing type things, but in essence start concentrating, I guess, or whatever it is that they would do to start teleporting things, I imagine we could wind up with a lot of chaotic things going on.
All right, now you've
imagine
read...
If you got a bunch of these people that were trained, and obviously they can train them because they can pick people out of Congress like Al Gore and put him through this program and verify that he's been able to reach higher levels of human potential based on their experimental stuff, that they can, and other things with remote viewing. I mean, there were situations where they actually, after taking people with quote psychic abilities or psychic tendencies, they just pulled basically people off the street, brought them in, and started giving them little seminars on how to do this stuff, and found out anybody could do it. Well, imagine getting a whole room of people concentrating on the same thing. If what they're saying is correct, we don't need a piece of technology to do it. That's kind of the scary part, is the human potential may actually be there where, a critical mass of people getting together, concentrating on something could do it. Well, if you're talking about creating a bunch of chaos or control or manipulation or weaponry, yes, it could be huge. And it could be very devastating in the hands of the wrong people, obviously.
To what extent do you think the unrest around the world right now has been influenced by just such mental, psychic technology?
It's entirely possible. I couldn't say for certain that it is, but considering the fact that they used, and they even mentioned in this paper about things that were observable fact of where they could concentrate on influencing pilots and things like that, I would think it's totally possible that a group could get together, do their little PK thing, or be trained on how to do this and actually influence groups of people to start acting in certain ways.
Well, if you run into a PK group, have them concentrate on having people just send me money. People say, well, money can't buy you love. That's true. It cannot buy you joy. That's true. But it can buy some new equipment. And so have the PK guys focus on having people that don't even know me. They don't even have to know me. They just say, you know, I'm going to go look at KevinSmithShow.com. And when they get there, they're just compelled to click that donate button. I would appreciate it if you'd talk to some of the PK people and get them to do that. Now, on a serious note, that was a joke, folks. I'm not a stand-up comedian, but that was my version of a joke. So on a more serious level, in Avatar, in the movie Avatar, people are psychically, and they're using technology to enhance it, but they are psychically implanting themselves into an avatar body. Do you think that's actually possible?
If there's anything credible in this paper, I would imagine. I mean, if you can exert an influence on materials, I would certainly think it would be possible to... I mean, they talk about virtual photons, virtual electrons, and being able to create exotic energies to manipulate these things. Why couldn't you create a virtual human and psychically project into that virtual human? Why not?
Man, it's awesome, and it's scary. It really is. If you just think of what it would be like to have an army of avatars, it wouldn't matter if you kill them. I mean, the opposing army could kill them. And whoever psychically attached simply comes home psychically and resumes life, and tomorrow jumps into a different avatar body. I mean, you could, as long as you had a good manufacturing plant to manufacture those avatar bodies, I don't see, you would have a limitless army.
Well, we're very quickly approaching the stage where, you know, we've already created new life forms in the laboratory. We've gotten pretty adept at cloning things so far. It's just the only thing really stopping any of this technology. Well, let me backtrack a little bit here.
Well, I tell you what, let's do this. Let's take a break. And when we come back from this break, we will pick up right there. Folks, and again to our affiliates, I am sorry that things are not running right on schedule tonight. We will have that part of it fixed by tomorrow night, and hopefully we'll have it all fixed. We'll be back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jeff Bird. Now, Jeff, we were talking about Avatar and stuff, and I want to move away from that because I've got a couple more things I want to cover before we hit the end of the show tonight. But, folks, during the break, Jeff told me what his son said about my comment that money can't buy you happiness, and he said, yeah, you know, it's true, money can't buy you happiness, but it's a heck of a lot better to cry in a Porsche than it is to cry on a bike. well, maybe. Maybe. I'll give him credit. That's pretty sharp. I want to get back to this report now. This report from the U.S. Air Force Laboratory is, I think, one of the biggest and most pivotal reports that's been released to the public. And I find it very curious that they did so. They know that their statements in that report speak of UFOs, stargates, all of that stuff as just matter of fact. They know that. They know that intelligent people will read it and say, hey, look, these guys are talking about this in terms of it being reality. They know that. So there may be a little bit of desire to make disclosure, but I think also it's released to us because the information itself is obsolete. I think they're way, way beyond the information in that report today. What do you think about the concept that maybe there's a little bit of a desire to make some disclosure by releasing this report? What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, there's a place in the paper that actually talks about them wanting to do that. The original, most of the general population, when they finally got the word that there was things like remote viewing happen, you know, most of the world probably poo-pooed that idea. But it wasn't until just recently that they even stopped that program, or at least said that they stopped. That was during Clinton's era, in 94, I believe, and then in 95, it was determined to let everybody know, declassify it, so that everybody knew that that was going on. That was a kind of, you know, back in 95, that was kind of a far-fetched subject for a lot of people. You know, we'd seen enough movies that we kind of got comfortable with some psychic phenomena and things of that nature. But, it pretty much is stuff that's left in movies. You know, we really didn't take it that seriously. I think a lot of times they do this so that we get comfortable with it. You know, once we see enough movies and then they release this information to the public, and you know, nobody seems to pay much attention to the impact that it has. You know, well, okay, that's neat, the government played around with this, and you know, we did this, and it wasn't just our government, many governments around the world played around with these types of things. And you know, we just, the general population looks at it as something that's just, oh, ho-hum, you know, they obviously didn't do much, they're not continuing on. Well, at least they tell us they're not continuing on. It was a very successful program. They're still using it to remote view and things, and getting very accurate reports. I mean, a lot of times we bomb certain places in the world because of this type. We call it intelligence data. It's actually a bunch of people playing around with psychic phenomena. And interestingly enough, it's gotten very accurate over the years. So, you know, taking this a step further in what they're talking about, now they're not just saying that this is psychic phenomena and you just concentrate on something and then you can make objects disappear and stuff. They've got a whole science and a whole physics behind this of how it can be done. which also leads to the fact that technology can and will be built around this in the future, and already has started to happen.
Well,
IBM sunk a lot of money into this.
That brings up the second point that I made about them releasing this information to the public. 88 pages of heavyweight disclosure, in my opinion. So the second point was that the reason that they felt comfortable in releasing this is because the technology and the physics and all the information that's in it is obsolete. They are so far ahead of that now that this is obsolete. It's a tidbit. It's a crumb off the table. But what a huge crumb. So what do you think about that? Do you think, you know, you've heard me say we've had these discussions on the phone, just you and I, and I've said, you know, I think our technology may be 100, 200 years ahead of what we think it is. I had someone tell me it's more like 1,000 years ahead. But even 100 or 200 years ahead, if you just stop and think, compare Orville and Wilbur Wright's flying machine, and that's just over 100 years ago, to compare that to our spacecraft. So look in 100 years how much ahead we are of Orville and Wilbur Wright technologically. So if you take where we are and move 100 years ahead or 200 years ahead, it would be absolutely incredible if we could see what that technology looks like. I think we're there. I think behind the closed doors in the secret dark corners, I think the technology is there. But you're an engineer. And because of who you are and what you do, I value your opinion on that. So what do you think about that concept?
I think just like by the time we go out to the store and buy a new computer, it's pretty much obsolete. I think by the time that this report was done, this information was way obsolete. I'm pretty sure that, having been involved with some other things dealing with government research, that by the time things and documents get declassified, I mean, they talk specifically in this paper about, because of universities being involved, because the Defense Department was involved, it was eventually necessary to declassify this and put this paper out to just kind of like let everybody know that it's there, so that, you know, I would imagine, to keep talk from happening between departments and things like that. A lot of speculation, you know, so it's just lay it out on the line and let everybody know what we're thinking. But I would have to say that, you know, based on my observation of things, that by the time that this was released, they were way past just talking about this stage. Obviously, a lot of things relate to research, reports, experiments that were done, not only by our own government, but by other governments in the world. So I think that it wasn't, I guess, it wasn't all that weird of a thing to hear just a few years ago that we were able to actually dematerialize something and have it reappear across the room.
It may be that, you know, one of the problems they have that they talk about with teleportation, the kind that you see on Star Trek, and they say, well, even if you could take apart, demolecularize all of the matter and teleport it and reassemble it all correctly, if you could do that, the problem would be, is there anybody home? The lights are on, but is there anybody home? But if you marry the psychic teleportation and the material teleportation, you could accomplish putting a whole being, a across the universe. We have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. To the Kevin Smith Show and to my guest, Jeffrey Bird. You know, Jeff, we only have a few minutes left. Let me ask you this. Do you think that this report is as big a deal as I have expressed? Or am I over-responding, overreacting to it?
No, I actually think it's probably bigger.
So I have understated the case tonight.
Yeah, I mean, not only the distribution list, but if you look at the tremendous amount of papers that were referenced in this thing, people's names that were mentioned, interestingly enough, a lot of people that seem to be disclosing a lot of things at this point in time about what's been going on with all this kind of technology and UFO activity, and obviously they're lent a whole lot of credence in this paper as far as their level of expertise is concerned. So, and the fact that there's a tie-in with solving some of the fundamental problems that make this stuff possible, that mathematically and both with theoretical physics, we just haven't been able to understand that much because some of the information wasn't available, and this kind of blows the lid off of all that. They seem to be more concerned about trying to explain the mathematics and the geometry of these types of phenomena that are going on, and more like how can they what I see is how can we build a piece of equipment to do this? We've already got the technology and the wherewithal to make this happen. How do we do this and control it?
Well, I think that's right on target, because when you look at the various institutions represented in this distribution list, you have DARPA, Tactical Technology Office. That was Dr. Sheldon Meth, Tactical Technology Office of DARPA. I've mentioned some of the defense people, some of the propulsion people. Stephen Squires, Director of Applied Technology. When you look at that, and I think it becomes obvious that what's going on here is an explanation to these people of the physics behind the phenomena for the purpose of technological development. That's what it appears to me. You pick up a little bit of that in the 88 pages of the report, but when you look at who was there and to whom was this distributed, it seems obvious that it's all about technological development based on the physics behind the so-called phenomena. One of the things that you've heard me say and that I said even to Michio Kaku, that the definition of paranormal is something for which there is no scientific explanation. And I said, based on that definition, virtually the entire universe is paranormal. And he agreed. I've had other scientists on that agreed with that. That based on that definition, which I got out of the dictionary, virtually the whole universe is paranormal. So when we look at it like that, now we're looking at a conference where we've got a bunch of people talking about this in terms of this is the scientific explanation for that. And so they're de-paranormalizing a lot of the things we call paranormal, and it's moving from paranormal into the realm of applied technology. At that point, it will become as common as your wristwatch. Now, one of the really good things about that is that it gets rid of the need, which I am not sure exists, but it gets rid of the need for body scanners. It gets rid of the need for invasive pat-downs, and now they're going to start doing DNA swabs, folks. When you go through TSA, they're going to swab your mouth and get your DNA. It gets rid of the need for all that because you can just teleport yourself and forget the jet. We will get to that point. It will get to that point. There are people who...
What happens when the computer crashes in the middle of teleporting now?
Well, I can tell you this. I will never use any of my computers for it. Mine have a habit of crashing.
Certainly gives new meaning to blue screen of death.
Yes, it does. It does. And would you prefer having a Mac teleporter or a PC with Windows teleporter? It'll probably be Windows 236 by then. Would you rather have that or a Linux teleporter or, you know, maybe a Unix teleporter? I don't know. But it's going to become as common as a microwave. There was a time when the microwave really functionally was only something NASA had. And now everybody's got one. If it weren't for a microwave, Kevin wouldn't eat, because that's how I cook. Everybody's got a microwave now. And you know, it's just commonplace. Well, that was super advanced high technology at one time. In the 1960s, that was super advanced high technology. So, you know, I think this teleportation thing is really eventually going to be as commonplace as microwaves. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. I don't see any reason why it won't. The stage has been set. Obviously, the mathematical equations have already been written. It's already been, you know, a lot of this paper talks about it's already been observed. It's just that we haven't created a gizmo or gadget to do that yet.
Well, at the time that paper was written, perhaps. Perhaps. I bet you we have it. I'm not a gambling man, but I would bet money that that technology exists right now, and that they can teleport.
Well, I bet they had it at the time that this paper was released, because there was a big reason why it came to be time to let the rest of the scientific community and all these people in the universities and the other defense departments know all about this.
Yeah.
We probably were pretty well advanced when this paper was written.
I would suspect we are, that we were. Well, listen, we have hit the end of the hour. I want to apologize again. Well, look, maybe I'm apologizing too much, but our affiliate stations, I do apologize for things not being as automatically on time as we are accustomed. That little piece of speed bump will be overcome by tomorrow. The rest of this, well, we're working on it. It'll be a few days. For those who have been watching our TV channel, I bet it has clicked off maybe 30 times during the show, but I have been bringing it back up, and I hope you've been able to watch some of it. I will piece all of those 30 pieces of video together, and we'll come up with some kind of something so that you can watch the latest show. But it will have a lot of those interruptions in it. Jeff, I want to thank you for being here with me this evening. It's been fascinating. This is something I haven't heard on other shows, and I appreciate you for bringing it to us.
Oh, it's been fun.
All right.
Interesting information.
It is interesting information, for sure. All right, folks, that's it. That's a wrap. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.